Chuck, will you be here till the end? If you could sing that song again, tell him, what is the name of it? Tell somebody? Find somebody to tell. I can't hear you. Yes, so at the end, please. And, you know, I just thank my brother so much. My heart, oh my God. Remember everything that he said. Children in this world today, oh, they need a friend, a mentor. So please pray. Please pray about that. What can be more important, really, than that? Amen? Okay. In my heart, I feel, is so moved this morning. Barbara, would you come up and pray over the word, please? You can come close to me.
Mike, is that on? Mike?
Yes. Father, we just thank you, Father, for today. Father, we thank you that you gave us another day to worship you, to praise you, and, Father, to go about your business, Lord God. And, Father, yes, that song rang such a deep call in each of us, Lord God. Father, give us someone to tell, Father, about your wonderful love, your wonderful forgiveness, Lord. And Father, as Pastor Diane brings the word, Lord God, let it find a true lodging place in each of our hearts, Lord God, that we might grow deeper and deeper in love with you. Mm. We pray these things in your name.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I wanted to talk today. I feel like I should change the title of the message, like go tell somebody. But I wanted to talk about God is good. You know, in a lost world, a world of darkness, we really have to concentrate on the goodness of our God. And when do we think God is good? Do we think God is good when we see a newborn baby, or a beautiful landscape, or a gorgeous sky, and then we realize that God is good? But you know, when we think about how bad things are getting in the world and how darkness is coming in more and more, we have to settle in our hearts that he is the light, that he is with us, that we're walking with him. And the most important thing that we can do in this time is to go tell somebody. Tell somebody the good news. Tell somebody how good God is. To share the love of God more now than ever. You know, the disciples said to Jesus, when Jesus said to the disciples how bad things will get, and they said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And we know that Jesus began to say, well, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And he was talking about the increase of that. See, he said, that you are not troubled. See, he said, that you are not troubled by these things. So he was telling them, remain strong. And keep your eyes on the promises that are set before you, the promises of God, that you serve an awesome, wonderful God. God is alive. He said, nations will rise against nations. Are we seeing this now? Famines. See that you are not troubled, that your heart is not troubled. Pestilences, earthquakes, pestilences. We have the most worst mosquitoes in our backyard. If you had them, ours are worse. They're small. They're triangular shape. And they are, my leg blew up the other day, all around my ankle, about this thick, all raised. And I looked it up. They said, yes, New York, Long Island has a new mosquito that came from California. Anyway, I'm just thinking about pestilences and how things, earthquakes, how things are, we can see really the beginning of sorrows, right, for the world. But yet, it is a time that I believe our anointing for the world is deepening and it's greater for the world. And I believe that God is touching people because, and will be, because they will be looking for some good news, something good. Well, you know what, people? God is good. God is good. And that's something. If they can accept the concept of who God is, first of all, that there is a God, and who he is, and knowing his goodness is with us, and his eyes are on the church. You know what? I believe as time goes on and things get worse, I believe that the world will be looking at the church. Right now, the world is not looking at the church. We exist, they exist. But they're not interested. But the time is going to come. Deep darkness comes. They will begin to look at the church. And what will they see? Oh, I hope they will see, as God is shaking things all around us, that we are unshakable. Our faith is unshakable. If they can see just that one thing about us, they will know that our faith is real and it's true. And I believe that the world will darken so, so, so much. For some, it'll be their greatest times for the evil, evil that's in the world. For some, but I think that most of the population will begin looking for something. Wanting to grasp onto something they can hold on to. And we see it, but we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen that deep, deep darkness yet. We hear about it. We know it's growing, but we haven't seen it yet. They have to see us with unshakable faith that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of disastrous times, and that we, what comes out of us will be God in us speaking. And they're going to say, what is different about you? My uncle's religious, my aunt goes to church every Sunday, but what's different about you? You know what? I have seen some Christians in my walk with the Lord, as long as I've been walking with the Lord, what is it, 50 years? Almost 50 years. I have seen people get angry at God and turn away. And I've seen the world sway them, persuade them, and swallow them up. So, of course, We have already made that decision within ourselves. That's not going to happen to us. Amen? But can you see yourself, as the world grows darker, can you see yourself getting stronger in God? See, it has to be a mindset. Can you see yourself at those times, as things get worse, you opening up your mouth more than any other time? Can you see that? Do you believe that? Because I believe that an anointing is going to fall on us for those days. I believe that we were called to those days. And the anointing of the Lord will go forth and break yokes. You know, I was thinking about Job and all that he went through. And he still submitted himself to God. And you know what? He never questioned God. If you read that book, the book of Job, that portion in the Word, you will see he had tremendous loss. And plus his body was so attacked. He was in such pain with boils all over. And it was such a horrible, sad, horrible time for him. He never questioned God. And Job said, now think about it. You probably all know quite a bit about what Job went through. And you know what he said? I quote, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Wow. I shall come forth as gold. So you know what? I believe God is looking for gold in the earth. And Job knew the fact that he was to live for God and not himself. At the end of the book of Job, Job says, I knew God, but now I have seen him. So there was a process that was taking place. And Job came forth as gold. Now is the time to take things seriously, to be steadfast, to resolute, to be firm, to be determined and unwavering. And right now, there's so much going on in the world. You can't keep up with this stuff. A lot of it you can't even hardly believe. But I believe that before the Lord returns, there will be deliverance, a lot of deliverance, and a lot of deliverance ministries to clean up, especially the young people. As we heard, 9 years old, boy is already on drugs and being intimate with girls. 9 years old? But I believe, and you know, there's the V1 church. I haven't visited it, but I've seen the pastor, you know, on my Facebook and things like that. And sounds very good to me. Sounds very good to me. And he's doing work, so young people, it's a church filled with young people. But there are a lot of deliverances. And for me, that shows me that we're really moving into the end times. Because the cleaning, the cleansing, the delivering these young people. So exciting, so needed. Young people are under attack. The enemy wants our young people. The younger he can get them, the better. Oh, he's so hungry to devour them. And these are the precious ones. Amen? So to me, see, knowing that there's so many deliverances taking place, I mean, and I'm hearing about even in theaters when Christian movies end, there's deliverance going on. It's you think about, oh, deliverance, people are getting sick and, you know, vomiting and all of that. It's a work of God, and it's very deep. And I think that we have to be sharp to understand the times we're living in and to understand the things that are going on and to understand what God is doing and to understand how good God is. Amen. Amen. People, we need to know God better. We truly do. We should go on a search to just know God better. Say, this is the year, you know. I'm going to know God better. I'm going to search through the scriptures. I'm going to find more about him. I'm going to know things that I never understood before. Because God is bringing an awakening. And I believe he's going to give us a gift of hunger to really walk with the Lord like we never walked with the Lord before. God is good. God is good. What does that really mean? We have a Father over us, a supernatural supreme being that is so, so good. Don't you want to look into his goodness? Don't you want to live in that place? We can see the world, we can see the darkness, we can see all the things that are going on, but to be able to concentrate and allow his goodness to penetrate, that's like fire inside of us. That brings the glory inside of us. We can look at the darkness, but I certainly would rather look at the light. And let me tell you something. We have been chosen for this time to walk on this earth, right? But we have chosen to be the light in the dark world. We have been chosen to shine like gold in this world. Keep ourselves holy and separated unto God. But you know what? I really, really believe that the day is coming that the world is going to start looking at the church. How is the church responding? What are the people that say that they know God? What their eyes are going to be on the church. I really feel there's going to be like a transformation that's going to take place. And little by little, they're going to come into the doors. We have plenty of room, don't we? We have a calling to care for the world. Do you know that you and I, we are supposed to love the world? Does that sound wrong to you? We are supposed to love the world. Does that sound wrong to you? The world? All its dirt and grime and... For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, amen, would accept him, would live eternally. How much, when we think of, oh, I'm in such a good place, you know, I have my spiritual brothers and sisters, oh, I just, you know, Pastor Diane gave such a message last week. But you know something? We have to have a love for the unsaved. Otherwise, what good are we? God is good. And when the world was dirty and people were lost, he sent his Son for the world. We have to learn because we think maybe we can have the frame of mind that we're like a little better than them, that we're know so much more, that we're walking with God, we have a relationship with God. God wants us to cry and to cry out for the unsaved. He wants us to have a new hunger and thirst and pain in our heart for the unsaved. That's what it's all about. It's not about coming to church. So that's beautiful. That's a plus. It's not about our little Bible studies here and there, which saved people. That's beautiful, I'm not saying. But what about the people that have never heard the good news? What about the people that are living in darkness? A burning desire, and if we don't have it, we have to start asking God to give it to us. Amen? We have a calling from God to care about the world. He so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus died for the world. It's God's heart that we have a love and a deep concern for the unsaved. It's so nice to stay in our little spiritual covering. It's my church. It's my ladies' meeting. It's my little retreat I'm going on. Jesus didn't stay in the church. He didn't go on retreats. I'm not saying that those things are bad things. They're good things. But God is good. He's so much about so much more than that. Oh, to be able to look into the heart of God. And you know what? How many in the church, when the hour of darkness comes on the land, are going to become confused? How much? How many? What do you think? What do you think? Because we love to dance and we have our flags, good things. We love to go here, this one's speaking there, they're getting together here, we're going to have a little prayer meeting there. Okay, that's great. I'm not against any of that. But that's not our calling. Our calling is to get out there. Our calling is to speak to our neighbor. To cry. Ask God to give you a broken heart for the lost. Maybe some even in our own family that are not walking with the Lord. Should we get bolder at this time? I think so. What about you? I'm afraid to say this. She might or he might. Maybe I'm afraid to say that. No, no. Say it and give it to God. And let him take that seed and water that seed and cause that seed to grow. Bolder. Open our mouths more. We love everything to be nice, nice. Family, nice, nice. Friends, nice, nice. Neighbors, nice, nice. You know what I'm saying? We need to have a broader vision. It's not all about going to church. It's about getting closer to the Father and hearing his heartbeat. And receiving his direction and his calling. We need to have a love for the people in the world. But hey, I could start mentioning names, people that we hate, that we know are ugly and doing horrible things, but Jesus died for them also. He died for them. And he can use them because he could turn their lives around. But I think I need a renewing of my mind. I don't want to miss the mark. And I don't want to waste time either. I want to have the heart of God. And the heart of God said, Jesus, go down there and die on that cross. Bleed for them. These are the days that I think we need to grow up in God and in his word. And the word is our drink and our energy. It's our nourishment. Amen? The word. Get into the word, people. When do you feel God? When do you feel him? Like I said, on a beautiful day, oh, I feel God. Beautiful sky. a beautiful landscape. Oh, God is good. When you see that brand new baby infant, you know, you think of God. God is good in the bad times and in the dark times. We see America changing. We used to be happy to be an American. Didn't you feel safe? Wasn't it beautiful? Isn't God shaking everything that can be shaken? The world is changing. Plans are being made in America and around the world by evil people. The government wants to dominate us like little puppets. Blatant sin all over, gross. I would say this is the beginning of thick darkness that the Word of God speaks of in Isaiah. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? The things that you hear, the things that are being taught, oh, God, what can I do? Well, get on your knees. Open our mouths. Like I said, the church, I believe the world is going to start looking at the church as we see the day approaching. Do you remember what happened in the city when the buildings came down? And we opened up the doors here, and people that don't usually go to church were here. A lot, this place was packed with people. They ran to church, and the world is going to be looking at the church, and the world is going to start coming into the church. And we have to be bold, but more than anything, we have to have a love, because the love is the fragrance of what comes out of our mouth. The love are seeds that we're sowing into people. God is good all the time. But there we see such an Antichrist spirit right now. Antichrist spirit right now. Oh, there'll be persecution. We haven't seen it yet. But strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Ask God to renew our minds that we can see what Jesus saw when he walked on the earth. He saw people that were hurting. He saw people in misery. He knew the day was coming. His time was coming. But he did everything according to what he saw his Father doing in heaven. Everything he heard his Father saying. Because that relationship with his Father was so close. And he was so sensitive to the heart of his Father, and he followed through until his last breath. Whatever God is calling us to, God is good. God is good. Amen? And loves us with an everlasting love. And will be with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The presence of the Lord will not be removed from us. And that, I believe, is going to become the greatest tool and need that we will have as the day approaches. And right now, in the churches, there's a great falling away. There's also growth. Wow. God is doing so many things at the same time. But God wants us to truly feel that souls are the most important thing. You know what? People will ask, what's different about you? They will ask. And you know what we should say? What makes the difference? We know the love of God. Love changes the world. What's different about me? I know the love of God. We can say, I know God. But you know what? That sounds a little pomp, doesn't it? Well, I know God. I know the love of God. I've been touched by the love of God. I've been changed by the love of God. And I believe if we can express that, that is our monumental expression. We're going to shine. The Bible calls for people shining at the end times, those that are shining. Amen? The Bible says that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. It speaks about in deep, 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 dark days that are coming. And it speaks about a shining that will be on the church, the true church. When we have a burden, when we are heavy laden, we know where to go. People run to psychiatrists or alcohol or drugs. They're in pain or partying to just feel a little numb or a little better for a little while. But when we are down and out, when we are burdened, when we are heavy laden, we know where to go too. You go to your room and you close the door. That's the place. That's your holy ground. Go to your room and close the door. We know the best medicine in the world is to feel that companionship of the one who created us. It's medicinal. There's nothing better than that, and to walk with that. Keep the word alive in us. Are you reading the word? Are you reading it and pulling it apart and concentrating on it and allowing it to come into your very being and being a part of you? You know, Jesus was the light of the world. And I believe that God is going to turn on a switch for the true church of Jesus Christ. Like I said, we will shine. There'll be a light that others will see. And the darker their darkness is, the brighter our light will be. And you know, I believe that the people that are in the world and they're not in Christ and they don't know God's love, I believe that they're going to actually know and say, oh, those are the happy ones. Those are the rich ones. They have something, not monetary, but they're going to see. Like my Uncle Carl, you know, I told you this before, when my dad was dying, my uncle, my cousin Carl Pissarro's father, came up to say goodbye to my father. And he was sleeping at, we had a little house next door to my father's house at the time. And he came and he was sleeping over and it was late at night. And all of a sudden, Uncle Carl never went to church. He was a worldly man, right, Deb? And he just looked at me and he said to me, I want what you have, all right? Okay? And I said, oh, you want a cup of coffee, Uncle Carl? No, not the other thing, not the coffee. What is it? What do you have? I said, the Lord? Yeah, that's it. My God, like a little child. Eugene, come here. Uncle Carl wants to accept the Lord. and we prayed over him. The world, I'm using him as an example. He couldn't put his finger on what we had. What the two of you, you know what you have. Isn't that something? Look, the Lord, Jesus, Uncle Carl, that's it. Wow, look at the world. What darkness, what confusion, lies. How the enemy wants to keep them captivated in the spirit of the world. But we have the key. We have the key. And it's like so elementary. But the first ingredient is love. To pray for the world. To pray for us. For pray that God would give us the love. The love for people. Father, I pray, God, right now, Father, you hear every word, Lord. And I know, Father, that I'm not even really completely doing a great job, Father. I'm my flesh, Lord God, I'm weak, I'm trying. But Father, in your Son's name, we ask you that you would give us a love for the lost. The lost and dying world, oh God. Father, even terrible people, they're even evil, Lord God. But we don't know where we would be without you. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you put people in leadership over this country, whoever, oh God, whomever, Father, that you would give us such a burning, burning, Lord God, love. In Jesus' name. I know that when I came to the Lord, and you know this, we've said it so many times, we were fighting the family, my husband's family, they were all getting saved, and you know, but we did not want to go to their prayer meeting. Please leave us alone. We're great. We're doing fine, you know. But I saw my sister-in-law was different. And I saw my other sister-in-law was so happy. She always seemed like she had burdens on her shoulders. I saw that. And I saw the married couple. All of a sudden, they seemed like they were in love. And I looked and I saw that they weren't just smiling and putting on a happy face. But there was something there. There was something there. How will they know there is something there if we're not with them? How are they going to know? And seeing that, the world will see there is something there, and God will be calling them out of the world, out of the world, out of the world. And instead of our beautiful Bible studies that we do in homes and all that stuff, they're not bad stuff. But then we can have a Bible study with those that don't know the Lord. We can step out and say, look, would you like to come over for coffee? I'm going to ask Ann across the street too to come have a little cup of coffee. I'd like to share some things from the Word of God with you. Maybe Anne will come and the other one won't. But you see, we're beginning to step out of what is norm for us, what is comfortable for us. I knew, we still put up a wall, but I knew those people were happy. I knew something changed. I knew that they had something that I didn't have. And then I had it too. Boy, that was easy. God just called, and one day, after saying no, no, no to them, we said, all right, let's go. And there was God waiting for us to meet him. Just like that. Just like that. So easy and so beautiful. Go deeper. When we go deeper in God, when we go deeper spending time with him, we go deeper in the word on our own, we go higher. The deeper we get, the higher we go. Get closer to God. Get alone with God. You know, Isaiah 60, verse 2, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. The unsaved will come to your light. I'm putting it in my own words, but that's what it says. They'll come to your light. But if we're not out there shining, they're not going to see that light. We need a transformation of the mind. Amen? We're going about our lives. We're all busy. But are we missing the mark? Shine. We're shining. You know, just think about how good God is. How good he will remain as the world gets darker. How good God is. People need to know how good he is. People need to know what he has done for us. When tragedy strikes and we all go through things, God is still good. He is immovable. His goodness is immeasurable. Amen? Amen. Keep your eyes on him. Will some of the church become disillusioned, confused, frightened, lose faith? I think so. I think so. They're going to say, well, you know, I didn't get in it for this. I didn't know. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? They don't know the word. But the word will prepare you. Us. If we look at Psalm, verse 101, chapter 101, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when you come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Isn't that beautiful? Within my own house and within my own prayer room, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way, and I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And this is so key. It is so key. Because if we're watching something on television and there's something wicked and our eyes are gates, it's going to go in. It's going to go in. And it will dull the light within us. It can even tamper with our hunger for God. But I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, and I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. David is asking God's help in maintaining righteousness at this time, writing this, in maintaining righteousness, he's asking for help. And so do we have to. He is indicating a desire not only to preserve the innocent and protect the needy, but also to maintain the reputation of God. We carry the reputation of God. The reputation of God against the attacks of his foes. Intense determination. David was intense about God, about walking with God. When he hurt God, he was intense, sorrowful, so sorrowful. David made a covenant with his eyes, and so did Job in the book of Job. He says, I made a covenant with God, with my eyes, that I would not look at any ungodly thing, not hear any ungodly thing, to give God our temples completely so that he can fill it. He can fill each one. And David said in Psalm 119, let's just turn there to Psalm 119. Verse 67 to 11. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's God's goodness. God is good. Will he afflict to bring his sheep back? But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. If you look down at verse 74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Oh, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In faithfulness you have afflicted me? Sometimes when we go through things, there's a purpose. Amen? There's a purposeful outcome. He said, but I keep your word. You are good and do good. Psalm 31, 19 to 24 speaks of God's goodness. And oh, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. So we've got to get it right. God is to be feared. We know he is love, but a fearful respect. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Is that something else? Oh, we think of God, and yes, he's our big holy father. He's our daddy. He's wonderful, and he is, and he is. But we must fear him in a holy way. Respect him in a holy way. And that fear keeps us on the right path. Do you know what? We have nothing to fear but God. Were you afraid of your father when you were growing up? I don't know. I was. I got hit a lot. I got in trouble. Punished. He would punish me for a month. I loved him. I revered him. I feared him. We have nothing to fear but God. Fear and keep his commandments. Psalm 86:5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. So what I'm trying to say is that we all need to pray that we have an unsettled concern for people that are dying without the Lord. That we begin weeping over the unsaved. Do you understand what I'm saying? To know that God is good, to the depth of his goodness, that we have such an understanding about our God is so, so good in the good times and in the bad times. To have faith in him, to depend, rely upon his goodness, to see it more and more. And the way we're going to see it more and more is looking at this. When things come against us, you go in your room and close that door and you pray. And in that room, you call out to God and do warfare, whatever it takes. We need to become more discipled or more disciplined in the things of God. We really do. And the point that I'm really trying to make is that we need more of a love. And I'll speak for myself. I need more of a love for the unsaved. So I just wanted to go back into that beautiful song that you wrote at this time. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would change us. You've been changing us, Lord, from the moment we really came to know your love. But Father, that you would educate us, the things that are on your heart, Lord, the things that are very, very important that maybe we take too lightly. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would transform our minds, our thinkings, the way we think, Lord God. Enlarge the love for the unsaved. Children, God, this world is a terrible place to raise children. But with you, Lord God, it could be so, so good. Father, we need to not just go on. We need to become doers of your word, Lord. And we can come together, gather together, and have times of prayer. But Lord God, call us into that room where you said close the door, to spend time with you, Lord, to hear your voice, Father. And Father, to stir up the gifts within us. When we speak to someone about you in a store, in the street, in our backyard, whatever it is, let us feel such a love. Put the love of God, your love, into us, that when we speak, they could sense it, but they will realize it's coming from you. Wake us up, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Bless you, Lord. Somewhere someone's dying without Jesus, and they're finding themselves standing at the gates of hell. My mind says I don't want to hear it, 'cause it makes me uncomfortable. Oh, but the Spirit says, go find somebody to tell. Oh, the Spirit says, go find somebody to tell. 'Cause heaven is real, so is hell. Destroy the lie that all is well. Yes, heaven is real, and so is hell. So find yourself somebody to tell. Go find yourself somebody to tell. So many people believing that there's no heaven or hell. There's no afterlife. There's no judgment. They see no price to pay. They live with this constant fear, but they choose to ignore it. Oh, the Spirit says, be a light, go show them the way. You know the Spirit says, be a light and show them the way. 'Cause heaven is real and so is hell. Destroy the lie that all is well. 'Cause heaven is real and so is hell. Find yourself somebody to tell. Find yourself somebody to tell. There is no life without Jesus. No way to escape flames of hell. There is no life without Jesus. So find yourself somebody to tell. Go find yourself somebody.
Hallelujah. I pray that between the word and in the message and the word in that song, that we feel a certain degree of conviction this morning. Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, the word says, go find somebody to tell. You know, it's not very hard to find anybody. There's plenty of people out there, right in your own family, right in your own neighborhood, right in your own workplace, that need somebody to tell them. Amen. I feel just as convicted as each and every one of you. And I know we can all say we're busy, you know, this and that. But we really need to find somebody to tell. Amen. Somebody found you. There was a point in your life, somebody found you and felt the conviction to tell you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It's only just and right that we go find somebody. Amen? Amen. Take it seriously. Praise God. Thank you, Chuck. With nothing more appropriate than those words. And I would encourage you, our brother Vince is in the back. You know, I know he didn't say very much. But, boy, it was so appropriate, though, for this morning's message and that song and all. He's got a list of 30-plus that need somebody to tell them, not only by mouth, but by actions, and taking them under their wing. Amen? So if you want, just like he said, you're not going to sign anybody up this morning, but get some more information. See him in the back. Get some more information. Take it home, read it, and maybe God will lead you to be that somebody to tell some younger person. Amen? Amen. If you'd like, join us. If you need prayer, come on up. If you'd like, join us in the cafe for some coffee. God bless you.